Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drawing Heat, and the time is now! Hit the music!
Haha, you're very funny, fat boy. And
I think it's nice of you to call Beige a Disney queen.
These two are definitely not dumb.
And now, here are your hosts, Beige and the Dude.
Hello, this is the Drawing Heat podcast. I'm one of your hosts, the Dude, joined by my fellow podcasting legendary comrade, the Beige. How are you, Beige?
I'm doing good, dude. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Did you like that intro?
I say, would you like to have a turn of doing the intro? You say yes, and that's what you give it. But you know what?
What?
It's the most cohesive bit of speaking we've done this entire night, and we've been recording for about 2 hours now. I'm pretty impressed.
Well, that's a win for us. I think we should leave it here and I'm going home.
Look, thank you very much for hitting that download button here today. We have a chat with the South Australian serial killer, Jag Hartley Jackson.
Yeah, a little backstory into this one, as you'll listen to in the podcast itself. Jag has a reputation around Australia and probably around the world, actually, in the world of professional wrestling, as being a pretty intense kind of guy.
Yeah.
His reputation does precede him, and it makes him seem a little bit unapproachable.
Very.
Yes, I was, to say it lightly, I was shitting my pants getting cold contact with Jag to do this podcast.
Yeah.
We'd not really spoken to him before, and we weren't sure that he knew who the hell we were, so...
We had met him at State of Origin. We introduced ourselves at the end of the show.
Yeah, about 3 seconds. We found out his hands were very soft, and then we left.
But yeah, look, it's a really good interview. He didn't have much time to give us, only about half an hour or so in there. But it was really good. We got some great talk out of him. Not much really about wrestling. There was a lot of talk about food and...
karaoke.
His time training with members of the Bullet Club.
Yep, there's a pretty good Carl Anderson story in there too.
I can't remember if that one actually got recorded or not.
Oh, let's hope it did, otherwise we sound like idiots.
Enjoy.
For over a year now, Explosive Pro Wrestling has been providing the best content in Australian wrestling today, and we're ready to take it one step further. As of July 1st, we're launching Explosive Pro Wrestling from the Vault. Over 15 years of incredible feuds, matches, and events. Some of these shows have never been seen, and you can see it all now if you subscribe. As a subscriber, you'll not only have access to all of this backdated content, the subscriber will go into the draw to be flown from anywhere in Australia to EPW's Reawakening 15. So if you want to be at Explosive Pro Wrestling's 15th birthday this November, Reawakening 15, then make yourself a subscriber to Explosive Pro Wrestling's From the Vault.
Head to vimeo.com/explosiveprowrestling and subscribe now.
All right, we are sitting here with the South Australian serial killer himself, Jag Hartley Jackson. Mate, thank you for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I tell you, the most nerve-wracking Facebook message I've ever sent to anybody in my life was the one I sent you the first time.
Yeah.
Trying to think, what's it? Well, you can only say no. No, you can say more than no. You can say, fuck you.
Yeah.
And if I see you around, I'm going to flatten you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, but you know.
You have a reputation that precedes you, man.
I do. And it really doesn't precede me. It's it's what I'm like.
We were told to be nervous.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty placid today. I'm kind of relaxed, so you're very lucky.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's
you've
him.
Eaten. You've
yeah, I have.
Pack
I've
on.
Had
you're,
the food. They know how to look after me here, so.
Well, that's it. Because when we started doing this show, we made ourselves a list of some guests that we'd want to get on the show. And Jag Hartley Jackson was at the top of the list. So pretty much we've achieved our goal already.
Yeah, we can quit now.
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, amazing.
Thanks for coming on. We're good.
Look, mate, here in EPW, you have such a reputation. When these guys first started out, you were the one to reach out and say, right, you guys need some training?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah, don't get discouraged. And
yeah, no, well, it was, back in the, it was early 2000s, it was, you know, these guys put a few clips online and they were getting grilled by a lot of the community, Australian wrestling community on the East Coast. And what a lot of people don't know is that when I first got into wrestling, there was no wrestling in South Australia. There was no wrestling in Perth. It was predominantly just Sydney and Melbourne is where you had your promotions. And if you want to learn to be a pro wrestler, you had to go there. There was no other option. And, you know, when I first got back into the, when I first got into the businesses and was looking to train, I was going to move to Melbourne for it. Luckily, old retired wrestler by the name of Cole Devani took me under his wing, me and Havoc at the time. And, yeah, trained us. So I had sympathy for the guys because I knew what it was like to not have anything and to have someone come along and drill you for something that you want to do and you love doing, but you don't have an opportunity to do so. That's why I got on board with these guys and, you know, sent out the message, and the rest is history.
Because I think the first time I saw you was at the Mark Has Been Made, I think it was called.
Yep, that correct.
With you and Havoc against Dave and Jimmy.
Jimmy Payne.
I think it was, yeah.
Yep.
And I remember you look nothing like you do now.
Nah, not at all.
You had a full head of hair. You were slightly less buff as well. Because then I think like when I next saw a picture of you, I'm like, that's Jag?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've gone through many changes over the years. So, but for some reason, I was still big and intimidating to these guys. You know, when I looked like that, we were laughing over a picture before. And it was like, wow, how were you guys ever scared of me? But I was pretty hard on them. So I guess that's, you know, shone through over all these years.
So you I mean, you were training him. You've got the Pro Wrestling Dojo in Adelaide now as well. You've had a lot of names go through, but you've been through at Japan. Was it Japan you were in?
Yeah, Japan. I was with the New Japan Dojo there, Los Angeles. I did the LA Dojo, which
you
was
did.
The,
yeah, I wasn't was, sure if it was Japan or LA that you were at.
I was predominantly in LA. That's where I first started, and that got my foot in the door for New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for months training with Mikey Nichols. And there, that got us booked in Japan and spent time at the New Japan Dojo.
And you met a couple of other somewhat famous names there now as well.
Yes, big time now.
We
unbelievable.
Saw just last week there was a visit from, well, the club as they're now known.
It was the Bullet Club.
It was the Bullet Club.
No, it was amazing to have those guys down. We spent a lot of time together. And to see them where they are today is absolutely fantastic. What we went through at the LA Dojo, you know, there's a lot of stories there which I probably can't tell.
No, you can tell.
You can tell whatever you want.
For legal reasons, I have identities to protect now.
Just
but no, we went through a lot of stuff there. You know, we were very poor. We were there to train our asses off to become pro wrestlers and to live that dream. And to see these guys on that stage that they're at now is just, you know, unbelievable. You've got Finn main eventing for the title at SummerSlam, which is absolutely incredible. And we just, when we saw each other for the... I saw him last year when he was down on tour, but to see him again this time when he's on the full roster and in the position he is, we just cracked up laughing, you know, the minute we saw each other. And just it all flashes back to how we used to live, you know, 10 years ago in a roof, a dusty old roof in an industrial area of Los Angeles. So
I just think the rise he's had since he arrived at NXT and it just skyrocketed.
Oh, 100%. And even back then we knew he was a superstar.
Oh, yeah.
We were fortunate enough to have a lot of matches when we were at the LA Dojo in front of six rabid fans, you know, which is unbelievable to think back now. And you could just tell back then that this guy was something and he's going to be something and he is something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you see anybody in Australian wrestling with that same sort of it factor?
Plenty. Damien Slater's number one.
Yeah.
I think that guy's absolutely phenomenal. And possibly, in my personal opinion, the greatest like professional wrestler that I've ever seen. And I just wish he had more of an opportunity to shine in the Cruiserweight Classic because to me, he has the look, he has that ability, the way he talks. You know, you guys have seen him, you know, plenty of times before. He's just absolutely unbelievable.
You believe in what he does and
exactly.
He says.
And another one's Jonah Rock. You guys would have seen him here a couple of times as well. You know, 300-plus pounds Samoan, you know, who can move like a cruiserweight is absolutely incredible. And then you got your guys here as well, like your Muffins and your Chris Vices, who I think, you know, are definitely going to start making their stride within the next few years.
Yeah, it'd be criminal if they don't get at least a half a chance.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the door is now open, you know, for Australians to get through. We're not on that lower level where we have been for the last 15-odd years. We're starting to break out now, especially with, you know, Mike and Shane over in NXT, and then you've got Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. Yeah. You know, 2 years ago they were on our show in Adelaide when we had the WWE office there taking a look at some of the guys. They got signed, and now you've got Billy wrestling tomorrow, on the NXT Brooklyn show, which is just absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Just seeing the rise of them. It's been so wonderful to see.
Definitely, and long awaited as well. Mm. When I first got into wrestling, the dream was to always be with the WWE at some stage or at some point. And it was just unachievable back then. There was no doors open. There was no avenues. And to see those doors and avenues created over the years is just unbelievable.
Is that still the dream that you've got to get there one day?
Dreams change, the older you get. I love Japan. Japan's a place where I really want to be and I really want to wrestle. But in saying that, I love coaching people. I love training. Yep. I love going to training. I get to live vicariously through people that I've helped train. So obviously the guys from Perth are very dear to my heart, and to see them and what they've done, and obviously with their 15th anniversary coming up, reawakening this year, it's absolutely incredible to see how far they've come, and to have a hand in that, I'm so proud. I feel like a father watching your children grow up and develop. And if there was a dream of mine now, it would to be a coach at the Performance Center. To just, I think, the ability that I have to train people and the background that I have in pro wrestling and what I've gone through, I think it would be very beneficial to be able to, spread my knowledge onto up-and-coming trainees.
Mm. Very good. You're looking a bit dumbfounded there, dude.
No, no, no.
I'm just sitting here perplexed, like, oh, my God, I'm sitting opposite Jack. I'm sitting opposite Jack. I'm sitting opposite Jack.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, yeah. Yeah, it's part of it.
Don't pole drive me. Don't pole drive me.
Don't hurt me if I say something stupid.
It's bound to happen. I'll hurt you anyway, so.
Oh, you hurt my feelings.
See?
I'm softer than an American basketballer. Oh, my God.
I'm just trying to work out. There's like some light coming through a window shining right on Jag's face. I'm trying to find
which right there on the floor.
That's his halo, dude.
Yeah.
I've just had a little producer going around trying to close all the curtains, trying to find the right
one. No, it would be the hand of hell coming up to grab me. Nothing from heaven, so.
All right, well, I've got to ask you about food, man, because you're not quite a foodie. You're an extreme food athlete, I think.
Yep. Yes, definitely.
What the fuck was up with those 100 chicken nuggets?
It's just a bit of fun. No, look,
was it because they're so cheap?
Well, it was. It's just one of those things. And I used to be 125 kilos heavyweight. I'm not sure if you see me back in the day when I had the beard, the hair, and I was absolutely huge. I was super heavyweight, let's say it, and that gave me my love for food. I create little bucket lists for myself of things that I'd like to do, and 100 nuggets has always been on that list. And last year I got 66, and I was done. I was very disappointed with my efforts. So this year, when McDonald's did their 24 for
$9,
$9-$10, I was like, I got to do this. Yeah. So I just went in there, sat in there, and chipped away at it.
How many different sauces did you go through?
Oh, they are a lot. if you had to do it plain, I'd say it would be almost unachievable. You have to have the sauce.
I read somewhere that after 40, you got a tingly feeling in your balls. Is that true?
It was actually 50.
Oh, 50.
Yeah. Look.
So you can't trust the internet. Yeah.
Was that on Jag's Wikipedia page, was it?
Yeah. Oh, so the things that show
up. I have to go back
there.
In there and edit that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it was 50. Yes, please re-edit. No, look, I don't think it's directly from the nuggets. I did have a huge workout before. The first 50 were quite easy. The next 50, I can definitely say it was a struggle. I didn't post about it until the next day because the mere thought of nuggets was making me feel ill. And the funny thing about it is the very next day, I was like, man, I really feel like nuggets again.
Jesus. Now, wrestlers, like you guys do, they watch their what they're going to eat and their macros. Yep. And I don't even know what a fucking macro is. But
yeah, same. I use a macro as an excuse to eat anything, really. That's what I found. what the legitimate reason behind it is, I don't know. I've never followed a diet or anything like that. I do watch what I eat in the sense of... I still love McDonald's, I still love KFC, I still love Hungry Jack's, all the fast foods and everything like that. I love burgers, and I still give myself those meals, but I'm not a huge fan of soft drinks or anything like that anymore. So I don't usually get the fries or the soft drinks, so I can, in my mind, justify
That having I'm a still, second burger?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of my
still
thought,
eating
yeah.
okay.
Well, what is it? What gets me is they, you go through that, like, you know, days of dieting and macro counting and watching yeah. what you eat, but then on your treat days,
yeah.
the treat days are obscene.
Yeah,
there are some crazy looking burgers and yeah. schnitzels and pizzas and shit. What the yeah. fuck? How can you eat so much?
Well, I'd just love to have that regularly. You know what I mean? And the thing is, though, we're traveling a lot with pro wrestling, and my schedule is all over the place. I don't know. Sometimes I might leave at 7 a.m. Sometimes I might leave at, you know, in the afternoon, the day before, whatnot. So just for me, I don't want to put that extra stress on myself to have to prepare, count my calories, and I want to enjoy my travel on the plane. I want to get my wine, and I want to get my muffin. And you know,
does he travel with you a lot?
Yeah. No, I've never flown with muffins actually. So, but no, like I like to have my that sort of stuff without, you know. I'm already, you know, a highly strung person and volatile at the best of situations. So to add that to fuel to the fire, you know, just wouldn't be good for anybody.
No, don't keep a man away from his food.
Exactly.
Now, one other story that we do need to ask, because yes. we've seen this on Facebook a bit, and it involves chicken and karaoke.
And David Storm being a miser and not letting you do it.
Yes. No, well, it was actually after the last event.
State of Origin?
Yeah, State yeah. of Origin. And, you know, we wanted to go out and get some food. And we went into, we were told there was this really good burger place in Northbridge, I believe it's called, which is like your, is that like a nightlife sort of part yep. of town?
Varsity Burger?
Yeah, I can't, yeah, Varsity Burger, yep. that's the one.
Next to the game.
You know, yep. yeah, got really hyped up about going to this burger place. It's like, ah, oh, it's wonderful. You
don't
know,
have can, the chips though, they suck.
Yeah, well, we couldn't have anything because it was shut.
Oh.
So it was the old, we're met up in a big group and it's the old, well, what are we going to have? You know, hey, I know a place, let's walk there.
Yeah.
As we're walking, me and Mr. Juicy spot this chicken and karaoke place.
Mm-hmm. All in one.
All in one.
Oh.
And it looked absolutely incredible.
I know the one.
You know, and we were chatting about it and like, well, you know, and everyone walked around the corner and we walked around the corner and said, what about chicken and karaoke? So, of course, everyone just thinks of a chicken and chip shop, you know, with
chicken
karaoke.
Chicken trip and a microphone
yeah,
at the front.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what I think they were thinking. And, you know, to me, I kind of wanted it to be like that as well. But, no, it was a nice little Japanese-style bar, you know, chicken and karaoke was just written on the sign. And as much as we tried to persuade everyone that, you know, we should be in there, you know, they weren't having it. And we ended up going to some nice place, you know, 24-hour, like, you know, what would you call it? Like Korean food, or you know, like your Luxes and
yep.
all that sort of stuff, which was really nice. And you know, again, me and Mr. Juicy were talking about how great it would have been to go to yeah. chicken karaoke, and they're like, no, oh, it would have been terrible. As we were walking back to the cars and everyone passed this chicken and karaoke place, they blew their minds and they were like, if I had known it looked like that, we definitely would have gone there. And it's like, Don't say that now.
did your time in Japan give you a love for karaoke, did it?
Yeah, it did actually. It's very big over there. I mean, you'll go to any bar, you know, any place. You can even go to gentlemen's clubs there and they whip out these little portable karaoke machines, and it's just a part of their culture there. And
Pick a song and they'll dance to it.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's kind of strange there. The gentlemen's clubs aren't actually strip clubs. It's just more of
a lounge type thing.
A lounge, and you've got your girls who come and talk to you, but it's not. There's no like naked performances on stage or anything like that. It's a lot of Japanese businessmen, but you know, you get taken around to all these places for sponsor dinners, and you know, you do have to sing karaoke. They get a big, you know. They get blown away if a wrestler gets up there and sings karaoke. So
are you any good?
No, terrible. No, absolutely terrible.
What's your go-to song?
I think, let me see. It's Jules Hands.
Oh, you know, okay.
Fair enough.
You know, I like to sing a lot of the slow stuff.
That's funny because I actually do have a backing track for that on the laptop.
Oh, wonderful.
Here.
Bring it out.
We just found out Jag is the third Everly brother.
I just think next time he's over in Perth, Jag and I are going to have a karaoke off, I think.
Oh, definitely.
You have to let him win, though, Peach. Yeah.
No. Anything with a good tune I enjoy, but they really take it seriously. Like they've got a rating system, so once you finish singing, there's a percentage bar which goes up and stops at what your percentage is.
It's like SingStar.
Yeah, well, pretty much exactly like SingStar. Mine was in the mid to low 20s, and I actually sang with one of my sponsors there, and he nailed Beatles' Hey Jude 100%. Jesus. And the whole place went off. So from then on, I was like, I got to practice. And I went and took singing lessons for a little bit. Didn't pan out. I'm still in the mid to low 20 range. So
now, you've mentioned the sponsors there. You've mentioned it a couple of times now. Explain the sponsor system with in Japan with the wrestling. I've heard it mentioned a couple of other times on like Jericho's mentioned it when he's had gallows and all that on.
Yep.
Explain how it works to people.
Well, it's different for everybody. I mean, you've got a lot of sponsors who... you can have like your own sponsors who will take you out for dinners and drinks and stuff and get photos with you and all that sort of stuff. It's just, again, you'll have like a sponsor of the show who would have maybe bought like 1,000 tickets or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, they'll take you out after the show for drinks and some celebrations. So it'd be like any, like if you've got, you know, Gatorade on board as your sponsor, their corporate guys would then take you out.
Oh, so it's just,
for,
just like a corporate thing.
So, but it just happens a lot over there. I mean, the population of Japan is huge. There's a lot of businesses. There's a lot of businesses involved in professional wrestling that, you know, for them to get excitement out of it is to take the wrestlers out for dinner and drinks. You know, that's their night to separate themselves from the rest of the business, basically, is that they got to spend their night with the pro wrestlers and, you know, you knock them out with chops and all that sort of stuff. It's amazing. A lot of things you can't talk about as well. So,
did you end up going to, was it Ribera's Steakhouse?
Yes, been there.
Got the jacket
and the pants and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's always, that's one of the classic places a wrestler needs to go is Ribera's. But, you know, you can't beat a good Aussie steak. So
the food's not too good then?
Well, you know, I don't see many cows in Japan, so... You know,
I hear the Wagyu's probably a bit cheaper over there than it is here, though.
It is. You get it with a side of Pocky Pocky or something.
Pocky Pocky. Mm. Oh, jeez. You right there, Ian?
I'm good. I'm very good. I just really want to know about that chicken and karaoke place, man.
Yeah, well, I still want to know about that chicken and karaoke place.
That's it. Reawakening. We're going to, if you're coming for Reawakening, we're 100%. Taking you to chicken and karaoke.
Oh, that'll be amazing. I'll definitely, that's given me more motivation to
reawakening
to win that ladder match tonight.
Chicken and karaoke.
Climb, climb, motherfucker, climb.
let's book it in then.
Yep.
Yes.
We got to tell the bookers here, Jags winning no matter what.
Yep. All right. Let's talk TMDK.
Yep.
You're a big, you're a member of TMDK.
Yes.
You're a big TMDK fan.
Yes,
you
huge fan.
He's a fan. God, I'm an idiot.
He just buys the merch, Peach.
Yeah.
Take over. I've dishonoured my family.
You know what to do, Beach.
What, just...
You need to commit... Was it Harry Carey?
Yeah.
Sudoku? I don't know what the fuck it's called.
Sudoku.
Come in the corner and do Sudoku for 10 minutes.
Oh, look, you've been over at MCW a bit earlier this year with the big TMDK feud against MCW there.
Yep.
You had a great match with Sexton.
Yep.
I thought, I love that match.
Yeah, which one was that? We had a couple at the start of this year.
It was the one where basically where TMDK came out at the end of it and Juicy went through the table.
Yeah,
and
that was amazing.
Destroyed everything.
Yeah, that was good.
That initial angle when you guys went in to do that invasion was intense. It was insane.
It was, and it was a surprise for everybody as well, because not a lot of people knew what was going to happen at the end of the show. A lot of people didn't know that TMDK was there. They were hidden backstage from the boys as well. So,
They went proper.
Yeah. So when you know it all came out, there was that general. There was that. That shock, that excitement, you know, because it hadn't been spoiled or built up. No one knew how that show was going to end. So, it was very exciting for everyone.
Cool.
So, you got a cage match coming up?
Caged Warfare. Yeah. I think the ring is surrounded by a cage, like a
Hell in
the
a Cell type of thing.
Yeah, like whole outside.
Oh,
I'm
like,
not too
more
sure.
Like a Hell in the Cell type thing.
Yeah, or like a. I think it's the instead of guardrails, it's a cage. So it's because there's a lot of guys in the match, so it's gonna be complete chaos.
I want to get over for that one.
Yeah, definitely, you should. September 10th for that one.
All right, Chris Bell, if you're listening to this, get your spare room ready because we're coming.
Yeah. Oh man, what else we got here?
The pistol pose.
No, I did a bit
of research for our guests and you know, on Facebook and all that shit. Every photograph that you're in, wrestling and non-wrestling, you've got the go-to pistol pose.
Yep.
Is that just because all the other poses were taken, or what's up with that?
No, well, it started off as a joke that I used to do in PWA. I think it was in 2008 or 2009 or so. I just used to grab the gun and just like point it and shoot it at the person, and then there'll be a couple of jokes where they'll try and, you know, catch the bullet and all that sort of stuff. And then that's just kind of it's moved on from there.
Bullet club stole your shit.
Yeah, they did.
Nakamura knows how to catch those bullets.
Yeah.
So I've pretty much kept that going from then. So
you only got the hang 10. I do the hang 10 thing subconsciously. A lot of people do the fist and, you know, the old wrestling fucking UFC type poses.
Yeah, and it just mixed in as well, like, not only for the fun stuff that we do before a match, but just when I moved into the serial killer sort of stuff and just adding that into the characterization of it. And
making a stabby thing doesn't go.
Yeah, you know, I don't really want to just start shivings, you know, make the shiving. That could look like something else.
You know. If you ended up letting it go or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to shiv all over you.
Yeah, exactly. So I kept that and, you know, I've tried to incorporate it and, you know, I still have a play around with it every so often, but it's my go-to pose and, if you guys notice it, then hopefully that's working around the world, you know, and that becomes my sort of signature.
So outside the ring, if you're taking like photos with friends or something, does it become a subconscious thing that you kind of
my whole life is pretty much wrestling, whether I'm out with friends or groups and all that sort of stuff, I kind of just stick to that pose. To me, it's more of a comfort thing. You know, I don't smile. I don't like smiling. I don't like seeing myself smile. So I just revert back to that. And I guess, at the end of the day, as wrestlers, we always have to try and sell ourselves and our products. And not only yourselves, but people do ask, why are you doing that pose? And I talk about wrestling and the background and get them interested in it and all that sort of stuff. So,
well, that works.
Yeah.
So, the South Australian serial killer gimmick.
Yep.
Where did the idea from that come from? Is it a Hannibal Lecter thing that you're going for
there? What it was, I used to wrestle in Melbourne for a promotion called Wrestle Rock.
Yep.
And this was mid-2000s, or probably, mid to late 2000s. And one of the bookers there at the time came up with, adding people to the, Jag's body count. And then, from there on, I just sort of adopted that, serial killer-esque type, the Snowtown sort of stuff that happens, the Truro murders. And then when you look into it more and more, South Australia actually has had a lot of mysterious, deaths and killings and serial killer backgrounds.
So all the churches, man, all the praying.
Yeah.
makes a man's mind go to mushroom.
It does, insane. I love that sort of stuff, the crime and horror and serial killing sort of history and everything like that. So it was only basically within the last 2.5 years I really kind of changed that gimmick over and tested out the mask and kind of liked how it went and still playing around and trying to tweak that to be comfortable. So
who's your mask guy?
The mask that I've actually got on, or
the one you wear to the ring?
That's Hannibal Lecter. And I think also it's a representation of, everyone wears a mask, be it in real life, out with a girlfriend, out with friends, out with family or whatnot. Everyone always acts a little bit sinister. And that's kind of like what I try and portray in wrestling is I've got that mask when I come out, but when I take it off, I'm somebody else as well. So you don't know who you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a young fella at the last show sitting front row. I don't know if you noticed him or not. He made his own joke.
Someone actually pointed that out, which was, kind of cool that, again, you can kind of have that, again, with the gun pose and the mask, it kind of comes back to who you are and character and everything.
Kind of disturbing at the same time.
Yeah, it
as well.
It is. I don't know what kind of, message I'm sending out to the youth of today. But
I asked him who his mask guy was. I said, did you get your mask from the same guy Jag does? Yeah. He goes, no, I made mine.
It's good
Jag
stuff.
Makes his too,
so Jag hailing from Snowtown, South Australia. It should come down the entrance ramp in a barrel.
I've done the old Snowtown gimmick before when we used to do a couple of things.
Have a guy dress as Donkey Kong up on the stage rolling barrels.
I just put all my opponents in them. So
screw the body bag match. You have a barrel match.
All right. I'm losing it for some reason.
Oh God. All right, you've been in the business a long time. Who's been your favorite opponents or your favorite angles and feuds and stuff like that, man?
There's been so many over the years. My classic opponent and rival is Havoc. We started together. I mean, literally 18 years ago this month was when we first started training together.
Oh, wow.
And you're still going at it.
Still going strong. And wrestling him, I mean, for the first probably, 10 to 15 matches we had, it was against each other in some way, shape or form, whether it was a tag match or, you know, triple threats or anything like that. So we were a big influence on each other's careers. From there, it was Davis Storm and the EPW days. That was, you know, always a favourite of mine. Steve Frost in Melbourne, you know, in the early 2000s. And, yeah, just the list can go on about a lot of my favourite stuff. And, yeah, Slater, Jonah, everybody.
Awesome.
Cool.
Any stories from the road you can tell us? Maybe a story about Masato Tanaka or something throwing a rubbish bin at you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Amazing. Yeah, well, Masato Tanaka and I have actually...
You're fine.
We've actually wrestled each other, you know, in Australia, Japan, and we were fortunate enough to be part of the first ever pro wrestling event in Myanmar at the start of this year, which was Burma, which was under heavy military rule for X amount of years. And
That's why my father-in-law's family got out.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, they moved to Burma when he was a young fella.
Yeah. And it was an exciting thing to be a part of. We got, Allison was a part of that tour as well. She's in Japan currently. Slater came over for it, so it was nice to be able to get these guys booked on a show like that over there. And, yeah, got to wrestle Masato Tanaka again, which is probably about my 10th time wrestling him. And, we went old hardcore style there pretty quick, as we usually do. And, yeah, nice full rubbish bin thrown at my head.
Were you on the turnbuckles at the time?
What's that?
Were you on the top turnbuckle?
No, this was in the crowd, this one. Ah. So, yeah, one of my favourite clips is actually watching that and just hearing one of the fans scream and run as this bin's hurtling towards my head. So,
oh, man. Mm. Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. But no, there's a lot of good stories. There was a time, you know, in LA, we were booked on a show up in San Francisco, and the drive from Los Angeles to San Fran is probably about 8 or 9 hours. And that was with Finn Balor and Carl Anderson and Mikey Nichols. And we didn't have a way of getting there, and Rocky Romero is out of town, so we graciously borrowed his car for the trip. I still to this day don't know if he knows that we borrowed his car for this trip, but he will now. And and that was the night before Machine Gun was heavily intoxicated and he fell through the dojo roof. And which
what
is probably
was he
about
doing on the dojo roof.
Well, that's where we lived.
Oh, fair enough.
You know, we lived in the roof,
in the attic above the dojo.
Yeah, there was a little ladder which went up probably about 10 feet and 8 to 10 feet, and we're all just having a good time in the kitchen below. Next second, he comes crashing through, all covered in dust, lights, all the power went off, everything. How he survived, we still don't know. And there, the next day, the big long drive, feeling hungover and sorry for ourselves, up to San Francisco.
Oh, God.
But that's it's one of my favorite memories ever of that place. And a lot of amazing things did happen there. And, you know, I'm very thankful to be a part of that era, so to speak.
Cool. Well, look. And you've given us a good half hour of your time.
Awesome.
We do appreciate that you're very busy this afternoon.
Yeah, got a big match tonight. I want to get my way to that, you know, main event so I can definitely get that chicken and karaoke. So.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to put that aside and say, look, man, you're taking him for chicken and karaoke.
Yeah.
We'll make something happen there. Yeah. Jag, thank you so much for joining us
this
afternoon.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man. Fucking taking the time
out. Awesome.
For us.
Cheers. Thank you so much.
It's been great.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Thanks a lot, mate.
And we're back. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the podcast with the South Australian serial killer, Jag Hartley Jackson.
And hopefully that that story about Carl Anderson that we mentioned did make it into there. I can't quite remember or not. No, seriously, yeah, thank you very much for hitting the download button there, guys. We really do hope you enjoyed it very much, really, as much as we did.
Yep, and it turns out that Jag isn't such a meanie as everybody
An intense dude at all. It was actually very chill and laid back.
I think it had a lot to do that he had been fed and he was well rested before we talked to him.
Fed, well rested and watered.
Yeah, he was like a grizzly bear.
Yeah, pretty
Once
much.
He's fed, he doesn't want to eat you anywhere.
Yeah, but we had a really great time. Thank you so much to Jag for giving us that time on the afternoon. Like I said, we were really nervous about doing that interview. He made it so laid back. We had a great time with him. Talking with him after the show as well.
Yeah, Jag's a bit of all right.
He's really good. Yeah.
So if you like this show, give us a review or rate us. A couple of stars on iTunes would be nice.
Five, not a couple. Five. We want five.
Couple of fives.
Yeah.
Couple ten. Of high fives.
Yeah.
Give me 10. Because the higher you rate us, the more people see us, and the wider audience we can reach with our dulcet tones.
Yeah, and if you give us 5 stars, that means we get up there near that other show that Jag was on as well.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Although he wasn't drunk on our show.
No.
Which was a pity.
We'll wait till next time he's around. We'll try and do that with him.
We'll get him some Jager bombs and some tequila.
And nuggets.
And tequila and nuggets goes down well.
Yeah. Thank you very much for hitting the button again. We really do appreciate it. Until next time, I'm the Beege.
And I'm the Dude, signing off, because this isn't just wrestling.
It's not. My hands small, I know, but they're not. You didn't think we were really going to play that shit, did you? Green Sally up, green Sally down. Last gun's start, gotta tell the crown. Green Sally up, green Sally down. Last gun's start, gotta tell the crown. Green Sally up, green Sally down.
Hey, I'm Will, the host of the podcast From the Sidelines, proud members of the FNX Network. I'm here to tell you why you should listen to our show. Do you need a comprehensive look over all the sporting happenings in the world on a weekly basis? Then you need From the Sidelines. Me and the guys discuss the bizarre, the serious, and the downright weird in sport every week. Seriously, 1 week we talked about jousting. It was so weird. If you love sport, you'll love our show. So come and join us as we look at sport from the sidelines.